Oh, my friends, welcome back. We are with Chef Amanda and LCI Taylor at the Le Cordon Green, and we're getting ready to start a dessert. And which one did you decide to go with first?
The Satsuma Orange and Honey Marmalade.
What are you smacking your lips for?
I do not like bananas.
You don't?
I do not like bananas, no. And it's one of those things that I keep making myself eat, hoping that eventually
really?
I will like it. It is a texture thing.
Ah, that's what. The number
like
one
them.
Reason people don't like a food
mm-hmm.
is not the taste.
It's the
not
texture.
The smell. It's the texture.
Like, I love banana bread, and I love to make cookies with them, and the flavor is excellent in smoothies.
Banana pudding. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, banana pudding I love. But since I can't deal with the texture of them, I blend it, and I mix
oh, yeah,
it in
like
with
a,
my pudding.
Like a pudding, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very
exactly.
nice. So you decided to start off with a... I can't even... It's a...
Ricotta cheesecake with Satsuma and honey marmalade.
Take it away.
So, our first thing is going to be making our crust. So, what we do is you'll need a food processor or a high-power blender that you can pulse to combine these ingredients. Now, you have an option here. You can use the flour or you can just use more almonds, about three times as many as this recipe actually calls for. And make something kind of like what we call a frangipane, which is like an almond paste if you have anyone with a gluten intolerance in your family. So it just gives you a new option. But we pulse together toasted blanched almonds. Now, you always want to toast them to bring out the full flavor of the almond or whatever nut it might be that you're using. It'll bring a whole new dimension to it. Then we let them cool. We put them in the food processor with our flour, our sugar, and our butter that's still cold, cut into little pieces, and pulse until it's a nice kind of like sandy looking consistency. Then we press it into the base of a greased mold. Now I like really creamy cheesecake, so I make mine with ricotta and also a little bit of cream cheese. But if you like a little tangy bite, you can actually use goat cheese instead.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really nice.
What if you wanted to do a regular crust?
If you wanted to do a regular crust, you totally could.
What would you do?
I would probably... I'm trying to think of what I'd want to do. I'd want to do a graham cracker crust if I did a regular one.
That sounds
so
good.
You do melted butter, probably half a stick of melted butter with one whole packet of the graham crackers. Put them in a baggie and crush them up with a rolling pin. And then mix your butter into the bag and use your hands to work it so you don't make a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice one-step thing. Really fun to get kids involved if you have little kids in the kitchen that want to make the crust.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for little hands, too, to press it into that springform pan. Yeah. So we do that. And
Jesus,
then
Kevin.
We use Kevin's making a to-go platter. And then we do the same food processor can be used. So you only have one thing to clean. Because we want a nice, smooth, uniform filling. Because sometimes if that goat cheese or that cream cheese isn't left out long enough, it's really hard to mix by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have big chunks of it. So we put in our... our cream cheese and our ricotta, basically everything we're cooking with, our eggs, our Cointreau, a little bit of zest from an orange to get some nice aromatic through there, as well as some nice orange flavor in the cake itself. And then we let it go for about 3 minutes to make it nice and smooth. And we pour it into our pan on top of our crust, and then we bake it over indirect heat on the big green egg for about 45 minutes until it's set. Now, to check if a cheesecake is set, you want to give it a little wiggle, and you don't want it to shake like Jell-O, but it should have a slight give to it still.
A little. I like the way you said that. A little.
A little wiggle. I wiggled when I said that.
Yeah,
you guys
can't
see me because this is radio.
That's definitely wiggling.
But
when
I
wiggle, it causes seismographs to go off. Cocoa Bob.
You give it a little shimmy. A little shimmy wiggle.
Showing my age. But anyway... Yeah, now this is one of those things. What do you find is the biggest mistake people make with cheesecakes?
A lot of people look at it, and it's risen really fast, and they go, oh, my God, it's ruined, and they throw it away. Well, cheesecake rises, but then it settles back down. So a trick that you can do is baking it in a bain-marie or a water bath, but you need to make sure you have a really nice springform pan because the way a springform works is there's a plate that gets sealed and locked into place by essentially a spring that pulls it together. But if you don't have a really nice one and it's not a tight enough seal, well, if you drop that pan in water, it's going to ruin your cheesecake. So if you can't bake it in a water bath, what I recommend doing is when you're about 10, 15 minutes from it being done, so at about that 30-minute mark, go ahead and shut the egg down. And it's going to slowly come down in temperature. And because it's going to come down slowly instead of a sudden drop, your cheesecake won't crack. And it'll settle nice and slow, so it'll still have a beautiful finish.
Yeah, I saw when you took yours off the egg. It was perfect.
Thank you.
It looked beautiful. And that glaze on top. I mean, not only is it beautiful, it's aesthetically pleasing. And, of course, you'll be able to see pictures for the recipes. You'll be able to see it all.
Mm-hmm.
But this is one of those things, you got to have a little patience. And you got to follow the recipe.
Yes.
You don't want to deviate. So many times people say, well, I'll add a little more of this. I'll take away. In basic cooking, Chef Amanda, you know that so many times, both y'all, they throw in a little of this or a little more of that. Everything's fine. Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything. In baking,
it's got to be precise.
Yep.
Oh, no. It's a science.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've talked to so many chefs, and they tell me without exception, the most difficult discipline of culinary, by far, is baking.
For myself, whenever I bake, I absolutely cannot multitask, and I spend my whole life multitasking. So if I'm going to bake, I really have to go into a room, close the door, and not do anything but bake. Because if not, you really can't even do an extra dash of salt. Like, no matter what it is, it's got to be.
And then you think, well, if I'm making a pineapple upside-down cake, all I have to do is just double the ingredients. Mm. Oh, no. There's so many times where you double, a bigger batch, so you say, well, all I need to do is just double up.
Yep.
And Taylor, another thing
too is a lot of times in regular cooking, people will interchange out liquid measurements for solid measurements, and you cannot do that in baking. 2 cups of liquid is not the same as 2 cups of brown sugar.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same size. So you need to make sure that if you're going to bake that you get all of your measurements.
Well, what I like to do basically is I go to the local bakery.
Yep, that works too.
Yeah, because no, I mean I'll do some baking at home.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, like one of the things I experimented with when I was down at camp last time was you all do so many. The young bloods are especially good at this. Is the pizza classes.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I don't like to do is spend all the time making everything. So I wanted to take one of my classics. I wanted to take one of my classics and that I absolutely love that I can't find in very many places. And I wanted to do it, but I wanted to do it without having to spend hours doing it. So I came up with a taco pizza, which Pizza Hut used to make them. And when I was working for them years ago, they used to make a taco pizza.
I didn't know that.
That would be my meal. My boss could only pay me so much. I was at the top of the pay rate. So he said, if you'll come in and make the dough every morning, I'll let you take a taco pizza home. Taco pizza on the way to school. So 3 or 4 days a week, I was eating taco pizza.
And making dough, which is impressive.
Yeah, making the dough. But
ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, unfortunately, I only made the dough in the 50 pounds. I didn't make it the other way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the amazing thing was I found some pizza pie, like Pillsbury makes or something, in one of those tubes. You smack it, you roll it out, you put... And we'll do this. Got to do this in one of the shows. It not only looks good, but it tastes good. But anyway, I found that I had the pizza dough made. They had, you know, shaved lettuce. So I didn't have to, you know, go through it. They had pico de gallo, which was fresh pico de gallo that in a container. Put that across the top. Some sour cream. Refried beans. Everything was, I didn't make any of it from scratch. And yet, when people tried it, said it was the best taco pizza they ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them had never even tried it. But to the point, when you're doing what Taylor is doing or when you're doing what you all do, it's from scratch. But the great thing about what you do is it's easy. You make it very, very easy. Most of the things that you all do is not more than 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes max, not counting cook time, but prep time. And that's the key to any recipe nowadays to me is that.
Mm-hmm.
It's because
I think so
people
too.
Don't have time.
I think that if you've got more than 5 or 6 ingredients – and if you've got something complicated, it's going to be really hard to do for an every night meal. Now, if you're planning a special occasion, you want to do something special, then yes. But I think that for general, regular, all the time cooking, you got to keep it 5 or 6 ingredients or less. I like 5 or less.
Yeah.
And again, you can, if you get your 5 core ingredients in my house, I have the same ingredients and I use them 15 different ways. And I always have a new meal, but I'm keeping my grocery bill low and I'm just coming up with new creative ways to use those things.
Well, the beautiful thing is with you two is you can experiment here. You know,
we are lucky.
And that's the fun part for the volunteers. They get to jump in and help and they get to learn. One of the things, if you're fortunate enough to be selected as a volunteer for here, is to come. If you really want to learn, if you really want to get hands-on, you really want to, the volunteers are extraordinarily knowledgeable in egging, and they are extraordinarily easy in sharing. And I'll tell you what, you know, in the chef world, you got chefs, they don't want to share. You know, they'll talk to you, but find out anything? No. You come here, and you'll find out the secrets of the secrets.
Yep.
And by volunteering, you can earn the right to get some discounts on things. You can earn the right to come to classes. Now, you work, but it's in a fun atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And Chef Amanda keeps everything really upbeat and fun and positive, but learning all the time.
We also do some things off-site, which is the second part of what we're going to do today is research and development for that.
Yeah, but research and development at a pub is hardly what I consider hard work. But it has to be done.
True.
Anywhere, we're Chef of the Fab Man and Blue Collar Chef. We just got finished with the first recipe, this incredible cheesecake. And one of the nice things about it is we've stepped up our game per your request. Our website is kicking right now. I'm in the final stages of working with the developer. It's going to be really, really neat. It's going to be very update. It's going to be
cutting edge.
What's that?
Cutting edge.
Yes, on the edge, cutting edge of culinary and IT. No, I can't go there. But let's put it this way.
It's going to be good.
Really, it's going to be really good and updated, and we're going to have
yeah.
pictures with our recipes. We're really going to take it to a whole nother level. Yes, sir.
1 minute.
Okay. They're giving me a finger.
Not the finger.
No, I said a finger. And I was confused because I looked quickly and I saw Marshall, and I'm thinking, what?
Question.
Yes. I thought he was querying the host.
Yes.
But anyway, neither one was the case. We're getting ready to go into commercial break, but I want to tell you that the website will be up and running probably within 2 weeks from today.
Mm.
I'm going to have final meetings.
Can't wait to check that out.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. And there's going to be some rewards for coming on the website.
Yeah.
We might even have some stuff to give away that might make it worth your while. So, and if you send people to the website and you can prove it, there's going to be goodies. So we're going to make this.
Ooh.
Our goal is 50K.
Treats. Yeah.
Our goal is 50K. And we're going to get there because of you. Or we're going to get there because of the recipes we serve. Where? Right here at the Big Green Egg, Le Cordon Green. We are Chef of the Fat Man, the Blue Collar Chef, with Chef Amanda, LCI Taylor, the amazing volunteers, and, of course, the fat but jovial host, Kevin Jenkins, as we take you on that culinary journey to absolute egg-cellence. When we come back, another dessert and more fun, baby.